All right, let's call the Senate Transportation Committee to order. Record reflect that it is 1:33 p.m. Tuesday, March 15. Present today, we have Senator Machicki, Senator Keel, and myself, Chair Myers. That gives us a quorum to conduct business. Staff in the committee today, as usual, we have Nancy Hemingway from Senate Records. Talia is joining us as our moderator again. And, of course, Michaela Anderson, my committee aide. Reminder, as usual, to turn your cell phones off if you have them. So today we're going to be hearing an introduction to Senate Bill 226, funds for the Alaska Marine Highway System. With that, I'd like to welcome Andy Mills from DOT forward to the table to present the bill. Oh, and Carolyn Schultz as well.
For the record, Andy Mills, Legislative Liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. How well can that go if I'm bringing up my lifeline already, right? thank you for the opportunity to bring before this committee Senate Bill 226. In large part, what this bill does is seeks to insulate the Alaska Marine Highway Fund and the Alaska Marine Highway Vessel Replacement Fund from the volatility that is present from a potential reverse sweep. And so as you will know, that from a DOT perspective and largely from this administration, and even demonstrated from the legislature, stability is what we've been looking to provide for the operations of the Alaska Marine Highway System. Through stability, we hope to ensure that folks that utilize the system will find regular, reliable, and stable service. And so the forward funding mechanism that was in place provides that kind of stability. And that is also part of the thrust of this legislation, to provide added stability from potential. So what I might do is turn over to my colleague to do a sectional and or answer more technical questions, because for DOT, this bill is an operations stability, but obviously it deals with mechanics of the sweep and appropriations that I think are more aptly addressed by our OMB representative. So,
thank you. And for the record, my name is Caroline Schultz, and I'm a policy analyst at the Office of Management and Budget. And like Mr. Mills said, this bill is the administration's attempt to fix the fact that the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund and the Vessel Replacement Fund are currently sweepable as constructed. So this legislation will functionally retool the way that those two funds are set up in law so that they are not sweepable. And just as a quick primer on the sweepability issue, the Constitution requires that all subfunds of the general fund be swept into the constitutional budget reserve at the end of the fiscal year if there isn't a three-quarter vote to reverse that action. And of course, in fiscal year 2021, we did not have a reverse sweep. So these funds, as far as we're concerned, have been functionally swept into the CBR. And this will correct that going forward if this legislation is passed. The court case Hickel v. Cooper is the main dictating policy driver on what creates a sweepable or non-sweepable fund. And that established a two-part test for sweepability. The first being the funds are in the general fund or subfund of the general fund. And if they're in the general fund, they're sweepable. And the second test is whether they're available for appropriation. And this legislation attempts to address both of those items. The first part specifies that the fund is outside the general fund, but it also establishes the fund as a capitalized fund. And what that does is that it means the funds, once appropriated into the fund, are no longer available for appropriation per the test established in Hickel v. Cooper. So there's functionally two kinds of funds. There are funds that the money goes into it on its own, and then the legislature appropriates out of the fund. And that's currently how the AMHS system fund works. AMHS receipts go into the AMHS fund, and then the legislature appropriates AMHS receipts to fund the operations of the system year by year. What this legislation will do is the legislature will appropriate the AMHS receipts into the fund, and then the commissioner of DOT can spend from the fund without further appropriation. So it's functionally a terminal appropriation as it goes into the fund, not as it leaves the fund. And that's the extra security that ensures that the fund won't be sweepable.
Senator Machicki?
So in PCE, it was clearly, I mean, that case, we were successful in that case because it clearly resided outside of the general fund. Hence the reason we had a problem with the higher education fund. But my understanding was all those funds, whether they reside outside of the general fund or not, remain available for appropriation from the legislature. Why is it not a dedicated fund if the legislature cannot appropriate, remove some of that money from that fund?
Through the chair, to Senator Machicki, I'm glad you asked that question. You brought up two important points. The first is the PCE case, which we can discuss how that applies. And then whether or not this creates a dedicated fund, like I said, the legislature must appropriate into the fund. So it is not as if these funds will not be appropriated. And once these funds are in the fund, they still can be appropriated elsewhere by the legislature. So in that regard, it's not as if it's like the permanent fund corpus or even the CBR, which are constitutionally protected funds that the legislature cannot make normal appropriations out of. Of course, the permanent fund, no appropriations can be made, and the CBR requires that three-quarter vote access. So it's similar examples of funds we have like this. A good example, the one that has both operating expenditures that are drawn from it, is the permanent fund division or the permanent fund dividend fund. It funds obviously the PFD, but it also funds the operation of the PFD division. And because the way that that fund is statutorily constructed allows for the administrative costs to also come out of those appropriations. So if you think about it, every year the legislature makes an appropriation into the PFD fund for the payment of dividends. But then some of that is spun off in the operating budget as a duplicated fund. So it still shows up in the budget every year for the PFD division, you know, all those PCNs, the director, the work that they do. I mean, there's an item in the budget this year about, you know, doing additional identity verification that we're proposing. And those are funded with duplicated funds because they've already functionally been appropriated by the legislature once into the fund. And that's how we envision this working from a kind of a technical and functional perspective. The legislature will appropriate into the AMHS fund. Their operations are still going to show up in the budget. It's just going to show up as a duplicated fund, not a DGF fund, which is how it's currently reflected.
So just to clarify, the fact that you remove the words legislature may appropriate money from the fund doesn't matter because the legislature can appropriate money from the fund. It doesn't need to be in every little section of law.
Through the chair, that's absolutely correct, Senator. And if I may address the PCE lawsuit point, as Senator Machicki said, the recent ruling on whether PCE is sweepable by the Superior Court did say that because the Power Cost Equalization Fund is outside the general fund, it is not subject to sweep. And because that is a narrow ruling by the Superior Court that really did only apply to the Power Cost Equalization Fund, the reason that we are doing the belt and suspender approach with this bill is because there is some valid concern that not that PCE will be determined sweepable, but that ruling might not be interpreted as broadly as perhaps we'd like, and that just the simple fact of whether a fund is inside or outside the general fund isn't enough to prevent something from being sweepable. And with the PCE case, because it is governed, it's in a quasi-corporation, it is really it is managed by Alaska Energy Authority, which is a quasi-corp outside the kind of normal functioning of the state. It's a stronger interpretation of that outside the general fund than if we simply just said the AMHS fund is outside the general fund because it's still run by, you know, the normal state system. So this is a stronger and more durable fix to that problem.
Understood. Senator Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Schultz, Mr. Mills, thank you for the presentation. I guess this is a great conversation. I remain maybe a little constitutionally nervous about what the Supreme Court may say or do. Since we don't have a Marine Highway Corporation yet, this strikes me as a pretty good step forward. And I guess the closest comparison I can come up with is the public education fund that we have used to pre-fund education a year at a time, several times since it was created. The difference there is that we have an education funding formula. And so when we make those dollars available for the Commissioner of Education to distribute without further appropriation, we know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to count the kids. They're going to apply the various factors in the formula. They're going to send checks to school districts with independently elected boards and statutes that govern what they can do. Talk to us about what the Commissioner of Transportation can do with this money without further appropriation, because we don't have a formula.
Yes. Again, for the record, Andy Mills, through the chair, Senator Keel. That is really the heart of Section 2 of this bill, is the permissible expenditures. And certainly in that, it attempts to fully detail out that there has to be, with the program and fiscal plan in place, that narrowing of. So that initial appropriation is made into these funds. No further appropriation is necessary, but with the sideboards of Section 2. And so that is the area in which we would envision the legislature giving their intent on the initial appropriation, and then through Section 2, telling DOT what is permissible for us to expend on AMHS. And so that's where that window would narrow for the legislature to have that level of control without further appropriation. At least that, from the DOT's reading, is how we see what you are attempting to address.
And along those lines, I think there's another court case we need to mention here that, again, I'm not a lawyer, but it makes me worry about Section 2 and whether it actually becomes useful or if it's just suggestions. It's the Sonneman case when this fund was originally created, when the court effectively said you can't put into statute what it can be spent on because it's just suggestions effectively. And that worries me. When we're talking about trying to stabilize the funding of the system, I can understand the goal, but I just have to wonder that as a combination of court cases and a combination of legislative power and what we've done over the last 15 years or more with the system, if this actually accomplishes that goal.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take a stab at that. Because the legislature is making the appropriation into the fund, and that's the terminal appropriation, and expenditures can be made from the fund subject to these statutory constraints, those actually are binding in this case. This statute isn't binding how the legislature can appropriate. We know that isn't something that can be statutorily bound. You know, the legislature can functionally, appropriate however you so please. Because the appropriation was made, this really does limit the commissioner of the department to only spend within these pretty hard guidelines. In some ways, this is actually a stronger constraint on expenditures than a regular appropriation. And I don't want you to get the impression that the executive branch can execute on the appropriations you make as we please, but in some ways, we kind of can. I mean, that's something that we don't talk about a lot, but every year you make an appropriation to the Alaska Marine Highway System, to the department to kind of functionally operate the Alaska Marine Highway System. Beyond that, the legislature doesn't have really all that much control on how the executive branch actually manages and operates the Marine Highway System. I mean, that's something that comes up from time to time. I'm sure my colleague, Mr. Mills, can speak to that as well. This is really just a different kind of appropriation with sideboards guiding the executive branch how to execute on the appropriation. But it's really not that much different than the normal appropriations you make every year to the basic functioning of every department.
Senator Machick?
So there's a lot of support for the Alaska Marine Highway System. Must be an operational reason why you need a fund. Is that to bridge the budgeting season, or some other purpose? I see you have $5 million for fiscal note. Is that right? So what's the – why does the system need a fund? I know how it's been used in the past. We've used it when you were in finance staff. We used it before for different things. It used to be much higher. And I don't know what balance was swept, but can you explain the operational reason why it's financially important to have a balance sitting in the fund just for consistent operations of the system?
Through the chair to Senator Machicki, the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund is, as currently constructed, is where the gross revenue from the system are deposited. And to your point, that has been spent down. And until recently, we functionally were spending that receipt in the same year it was collected with, you know, a general fund subsidy as well to keep the fund up or to keep the system operational. The two things have changed. One, of course, is that the sweep is no longer consistently being reversed. The second is the influx of federal money in the infrastructure and jobs bill that is in support of the Alaska Marine Highway System. So because of our ability to functionally replace both the UGF and gross receipts of the system, we can save up the receipts in a fund year after year while using those federal funds to replace that and develop a kind of a, some kind of endowment or nest egg to fund the system and help with that transition as we talk conceptually about the bigger policy implications of the Alaska Marine Highway System as a whole. And I'll ask Mr. Mills to go into that.
Yeah. Again, Andy Mills for the record. From an operational standpoint, when we were reviewing the language and working through it, there are not a lot of other funds that have a operating system relying on them. And so obviously, if you're going to look to try and insulate a particular fund from volatility, one that relies on an operation, drawing from that, both from the timing of our contracts on CIP programs and trying to get the best replacement funds for certain timing in between legislative sessions. We didn't see that there was a high likelihood that we would run into issues in between sessions. The legislature could probably take action, and as you mentioned, Senator Machicki, that there is broad support, and so if we ran into issues, it's very likely that the legislature would look to act, but obviously with the volatility, the reverse sweep, which could take legislative action but has not been successful, we want to make sure that we're putting forward the ability for the legislature to say that this fund, which has operations relying on it, will not see that kind of volatility, even if that chance is remote. And again, the two-prong approach does give the ability for this action to have that durability or lasting power should that Superior Court decision go higher and go a different direction.
Senator Machicki?
So if the legislature were to not pass, if this were to pass, be signed into law, there's a $5 million balance growing over time, and in FY25, the legislature didn't pass a budget by July 1st, the system could continue operating with their savings because the department is authorized to spend out of that account. Is that correct?
Through the chair to Senator Machicki, I would be hesitant to give a firm answer on that, given how complicated the actual execution of a government shutdown is. That is not something that we have had to contemplate. It makes sense, you're correct, that the system would be able to make expenditures, but given the fact that the rest of the Department of Transportation wouldn't have a budget, it would be challenging, and I would probably like the Department of Law to weigh in on that idea. I think that's a really good question.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, So essentially the purpose of your bill is supplanting and preserving UGF and maximizing federal funds, but we don't know if it assists in the continuity of service yet if there's a government shutdown.
Through the chair, that's correct. A real government shutdown is something that I don't necessarily believe that this bill protects against. We haven't contemplated that. And Mr. Chairman, if I may comment on the fiscal notes, Senator Machicki, you mentioned those. There are three pretty technical fiscal notes for this bill. The $5 million fund change that you mentioned, that's fiscal note number one for the members. That fiscal note just reflects a technical fund change in the budget. If this bill were passed, it would, what's currently listed in the budget as designated general funds, AMHS funds, would be changed to a new fund code. And we only have $5 million in AMHS funds in the budget this year because we used federal for the rest, but there were some costs that were unallowable for federal reimbursement, so we did use, there is a $5 million AMHS receipt kind of plug in the budget for that, and so that would be just a fund code change. It would go from DGF to other duplicated, so it's a pretty technical change there. And then there are two other fiscal notes that are fund capitalizations, and those other two fiscal notes reflect the appropriation into the funds, which are those terminal appropriations that I was discussing, one of which is into the AMHS system fund for about $53 million of receipts. There's a supplemental appropriation and an appropriation for FY23, and it's indeterminate in future years because we don't have good projections for revenue for those years. And there's one other supplemental fund capitalization for the vessel replacement fund, and that's replacing the amount that was swept in FY21.
Go
ahead.
That's the 18 million. Okay. 18.4.
That's correct.
Okay. Just to clarify on those other two fiscal notes, the 18 and the 53. So if I understand it correctly, the 53, that is effectively this year's revenues, what's coming in operationally from fare boxes, et cetera. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's the department's projection.
Okay. And then the $18 million, where's that coming from? That's if I understand you correctly, that fund has already been swept, so that's not coming out because you're not assuming that we're going to pass the reverse sweep this year. Is that coming from UGF, or where's that from?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. That is the amount that was swept into the CBR, and this fiscal note is an appropriation of general funds to replenish that amount.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on Senator Machicki's line of questioning, without a fund, an operating fund that's not swept, we really don't have any possibility that we can continue to run the Marine Highway System with its calendar year budgeting if we hit July 1 without a budget. Am I understanding that correctly?
Through the chair to Senator Keel, you're again speaking of a government potential government shutdown?
That's correct. But part of the reason we went to the calendar year budgeting was because of the recent run-ins with that deadline.
So again, Andy Mills for the record. So I think the struggle here, without of course having someone from Department of Law assist us on this answer, isn't the crux of the question, if the legislature does not pass something on July 1, there is, we call into question. Now, I have heard interpretations about life, health, safety being able to continue beyond a legislative action, and AMHS, we have sort of said, is in that arguably a life, health, safety issue. And so when a potential government shutdown comes, there are a lot of things at DOT that would wait for the legislature to pass a budget. AMHS is in that gray area where we have had an interpretation that life, health, safety may allow it to continue, but that it's a question that is then compounded with this sweepability question and this new fund. So I don't know that we're prepared to analyze that and provide a clear answer to you, but those are the things at play that we would need to examine to truly answer the question and just say, yes, it would be able to continue with the way that this then structures it under that scenario versus the larger question of the government shutdown. So maybe that's how I would see their ambiguity that we can't answer at the moment. But we can contemplate that and return that back to the committee if that's your desire.
Certainly. And for the record, Caroline Schultz, OMB, we are trying to make the fund sweep proof, not shutdown proof. I don't, like Mr. Mills said, the government shutdown wasn't something that factored into our drafting considerations here, and so it will require further consideration.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Machicki?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to get that answer, because my common sense approach is that on calendar year budgeting and the fact that you have an authorized fund, and this is a critical service, whether or not the government shuts down, we have many services that continue. My common sense analysis says that the service could continue with this fund, but I'm not an attorney, and it'd be interesting to hear what they have to say about that. I think it's different than fiscal year appropriations. If they don't arrive, there's no money. If funding doesn't arrive for this department, there is money that's authorized to spend under this bill.
If we have a moment, Andy, for the record, I will see if we can get a lifeline on to answer this question, if that's a desire for the committee.
Yeah, let's take a brief ease. We'll check on that. All righty. Back on the record, Transportation Committee. I believe we've got Corey Mills on the line from the Department of Law. Ms. Mills, can you hear me?
I can. Corey Mills, Deputy Attorney General, for the record.
Thank you, Ms. Mills. Senator Machicki, if you wouldn't mind restating your question.
Yeah, thank you. Hello, Corey. So essentially what we were asking as a committee, I had a question, and so did Senator Keel. So there currently doesn't exist an Alaska Marine Highway Fund, or it does exist, but it's been swept. If we were to pass this bill with a fund outside of the general fund, essentially protected from sweep, that is in a department where they would have adequate funds for continuing operation. They're on a calendar year. They have a fund balance and the authority to spend specifically, as we see in Section 2, I would assume that they could continue operating while they had available funds in the Alaska Marine Highway System Fund if this bill were to pass. Is that correct?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, I believe you are correct. On the funding side, the bill has no further need for appropriation. The Department of Transportation could spend the funds, and therefore, you know, like you said, they operate on a calendar year, but you also have a fund available that they could use the fund source. So in the past, when we've looked at potential shutdown scenarios, if anything has a source of funding that continues and doesn't need further authority to spend, that is a funding source that can be spent.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I should have added, in spite of a government shutdown, there may be other impacts on senior leadership of the Department of Transportation, but the leadership and, of course, all of the expenditures associated with the fund could continue, and they'd have to work something out depending on how the rest of the department was shut down. I'm not sure what that looks like. Commissioners are eventually paid either way, so not sure about deputy commissioners. I hope they're not, but the others are continue to be online, right? So I think we're asking the right question, and that assumption in your view is correct, that this would essentially keep the critical service of the Marine Highway System operating if the legislature were to run into a bit of overtime past July 1.
Senator Machicki, through the chair, from a funding perspective, I think that's absolutely correct. What I can't answer is kind of from a personnel perspective. I know there are a number of collective bargaining agreements, and I don't know if those particularly would be impacted and in what way, but there would be funding to pay for the operation.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, thank you. Anything else from you? Okay. All right. I believe that's all the questions that we've got for now. We're going to go ahead and hold on to this bill a little bit longer and consider it, and we'll look into our schedule. And with that, a little bit shorter than we anticipated today. So the next meeting, seeing no other business before the committee for now, next meeting is currently scheduled for Thursday, March 17th. We're going to be revisiting SB 170, the Marine Highway Corporation, and we'll be discussing unions and labor negotiations. And with that, unless you have any closing comments.
Thank you so much for having us here.
All right. Appreciate that. With that, we're going to be adjourned at 2:09 p.m.